Hey, my friends. It's been a while, hasn't it? Feels like it's been forever. Did you guys miss us? I hope so. We've got some really great stuff coming up. We really missed getting to do this. We fell behind. Our lives got crazy, but we're back. Jonathan and I are going to geek out here with you guys, and we have got a lot of podcasts that are going to be coming out like rapid fire. That's the plan, at least. So, enjoy today's podcast. A lot of geek-tastic conversation that's going to be coming your way. But first, allow me to take a moment to plug our sponsor, because without our sponsor, this show would not be possible. So guys, if you're in the mood to do a little bit of shopping, it's payday, you just got paid maybe? You got money burning a hole in your pocket? You want to add some new toys to your collection? That's what I usually do when I get paid. I head on over to NerdRageToys.com. NerdRage Toys has one of the greatest selections of vintage action figures. Check this out. You guys remember G.I. Joe? You remember Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles? You remember some of the more obscure stuff maybe, like Toxic Crusaders, like Crystar, like Food Fighters, like Supernaturals? NerdRage Toys is the place to buy this stuff. Not only do they have an awesome selection of vintage toys that are in fantastic shape, but the prices are amazing on this stuff. You can't find this stuff for better prices at an online store. And you know how hard it is to find a lot of this stuff in the wild, right? So why go hunting this stuff down when you can just head on over to NerdRageToys.com, look at their selection, and add some cool vintage toy goodness to your toy shelves? If it's not old stuff that you're looking for, maybe it's new stuff. Well, the good news is that NerdRage Toys also has some amazing pre-orders right now for stuff that's not even out yet. Stuff you can secure before it sells out everywhere else. Like the Marvel Legends Guardians of the Galaxy figures. You know those are going to be hot. Jonathan and I are so excited for Guardians of the Galaxy. I know you guys are excited for it. So head on over to NerdRageToys.com and pre-order those figures because they are going to be sweet. I cannot wait to get these myself. And I know you guys want to get those for your collection, right? They got some other stuff too. Star Wars Black Series. The amazing new 30th anniversary Voltron. A lot of cool pre-orders. So guys, head on over there. NerdRageToys.com. You can click on the link in the description of this episode's podcast. That way, you can add some cool new goodies to your collection. And you can help out this show at the same time. That's NerdRageToys.com. Now let's get on with the show.
Greetings, fellow nerds and geeks. Why don't you pull yourself up a chair, grab yourself a beverage, and prepare to enjoy a geek-tastic conversation. Welcome to the Geekeasy.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Geekeasy.
What was that?
That was the. It's been a long time since we've done this.
That was a lot of pent up energy coming out.
Geekeasy stuff. We're gonna record and talk about things.
Oh, we're back to be your voices from the internet again.
That's right. Hey guys, I'm Pixel Dan.
I'm Jonathan Leonard,
and we're gonna talk about some geek movie news probably a lot today.
We've missed you guys.
Yeah, we have been gone for quite some time, and gosh, I think it's been. The last episode we recorded was the WrestleMania episode.
Yeah, it was, wow, that was a long time.
So, it's been way too long.
I knew it was before Captain America.
Yeah, we have not done a good job at keeping up with the two podcasts a month thing. So we apologize for that. That was definitely not our intention, and our goal is to get back on track, starting with this episode. And a lot of people were actually starting to, like, message me and send me tweets and everything saying, hey, I hope you guys are still doing this show. So, like, on one hand, that's cool that people have actually missed it, but I felt really bad.
Good, and I did, too. And I don't want to make excuses. We've had some stuff come up, both of us, and that's all there is to it. And it's kind of kept us sidetracked. And it's one of those snowball deals. it's when you're on track and everything's going okay, then it works out pretty well and things keep working out, and then you get yourself sidetracked for, you know, a couple of episodes, and then all of a sudden it's harder and harder to get back.
Yeah, that's the problem.
So we've all been there.
You slip once, and it's...
Hopefully you'll all forgive us. My assumption is you've all done the same at some point. I know I've done it several times in several things in my life, so...
Yep.
But here we are.
Here we are. We're back. We are back.
We promise we'll never miss another episode.
Ever again.
Except maybe sometimes.
Until the next time, at least. Oh, man. And so many things have been happening, too. Like, we've definitely still been discussing all this stuff, that's for sure. Like, I just, every time a new story breaks or something, we're always right there to did you hear about this yet? Or did you hear about that? And
you know what we need to do next time we miss a string of episodes for some reason? We just need to release our email strings on the
just release our email. That would be awesome.
Here you guys go. Here's basically a written version of what you would have heard this week.
This is what it looks like when we type it out back and forth to each other.
Yeah.
We've also seen a couple movies in the weeks that we've been absent. A lot of the big ones. And I know a lot of you guys want to hear our thoughts on movies like Captain America and The Amazing Spider-Man and X-Men Days of Future Past. And our intention is to follow up this episode with several review episodes where we're going to talk about those movies. But today we wanted to go ahead and just... mostly focus on all of the crazy news that's been coming out.
Yeah, just get back on track with the news feed, and man, is there a couple of whoppers in there.
There really is. There's a lot of big things to talk about. Let's go ahead and just get this one right out of the way at the beginning. Let's talk about the DC movie universe.
Okay.
There's no reason not to go ahead and start with this. One of the things that happened actually shortly after we recorded our last episode, and is definitely something we should have brought up weeks ago, was the first photo that came out of Ben Affleck wearing the bat suits.
Yep.
We also got a small peek at the Batmobile in that picture too. And the picture is in black and white, but it's actually a very cool looking picture. And
I like it.
I like it quite a bit.
I like the look of it.
It's definitely very Frank Miller-ish.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Which makes me a little nervous on the tone.
Yeah.
But I really like the look of the costume. There's a lot of talks because when they released the news of the Batman versus Superman at Comic-Con last year, they did it with a quote from Frank Miller's Dark Knight Returns.
Uh-huh.
And a lot of people have been... It's just kind of a general consensus I hear from people who talk about this stuff saying that they feel like... they're adapting parts of that story for this movie, and they're really excited about it because they'd like to see that on the big screen. And I keep thinking, man, what a terrible, terrible idea. Like, I would love to see The Dark Knight Returns on the big screen, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But not in this format, not with a... It doesn't make any sense with a brand new Superman and...
No, it doesn't make
a
sense.
A newly introduced to the audience Batman, that story isn't going to fly at all.
Or, like, the building to the Justice League. Like,
yeah,
I don't feel like this... That's not a story that comes before all this stuff.
Exactly.
This is a story that comes
way after all this stuff. In the future. So, again, that's all unsubstantiated. I don't believe that that's the truth, that they're trying to adapt most of that. However... Yeah. DC makes a lot of bad decisions, so maybe they are trying to work that in there.
Yeah, I guess we'll see. I do like the look of it, though, and I know that Kevin Smith was one of the guys who was really excited early on, because he got to see the costume before anybody else.
Yeah,
and,
like right after Ben Affleck got cast.
Yeah, and he's a big fan of Dark Knight Returns. That's like his favorite Bat book. But he would talked about right away that this is the Batman costume that he's always wanted to see on film.
Yeah.
So I had a feeling right from the get-go that it was going to be like, it could possibly be like a black and gray suit and just look more comic book like that. And that's definitely what it looks like. Like the photo's in black and white, but I get the vibe that it's a gray and black costume.
That's the impression I'm under as well.
And I think that's cool because Batman... ever since the 89 Batman, he's always worn straight black in the movies. And I like the idea of putting the gray and black on.
I do, too,
That's always been my favorite look for him in the books.
Yeah.
And I think that'll look really cool in the movie.
Yeah.
I think that's
feel like, aside from the nubby ears, too, I kind of got, I'm hoping, again, I got the same impression from you color-wise, and it makes me think of the Arkham suits.
Yeah.
And those, I think, are awesome.
Yeah,
well,
the Arkham suits are
awesome.
They do
have much pointier ears.
Yeah, this one definitely had, like, the shorter ears, and it's got the really fat bat logo on the chest.
Yeah.
It's very Frank. Like, it looks like they did the Frank Miller design straight.
Yeah.
I mean, that's totally what it looks like. Yeah. But I'm interested to see how it's going to actually look on the screen. And have you seen those pictures of Affleck, like, recent photos of him, like, just as Affleck, and, like, how... buff he is right now.
No, I haven't.
He is like, there's some photos that were just circulating on the net probably like a week or so ago with his shirt off.
Yeah.
And he's just like totally just built right now.
Cool,
he is just way.
Well, because I remember that was, I want to say the Oscars, but it couldn't have been the Oscars because that was too close to now. But there was some sort of public appearance he made right around the time originally where they had said they were going to start filming.
Uh-huh.
And everybody thought the filming was going to start soon, and there was some awards show or something, and Affleck was there, and you were looking at Affleck going, he looks kind of pudgy still. He does not look like he's taking that too seriously, you know. But shortly after that, they delayed filming for so long anyway, or they announced it was delayed. They probably delayed it before then. So then it was like all of a sudden like, okay, cool, he's probably not in full training mode then.
Right, right.
So it's good to hear that apparently he is
it
now.
It seems like he's in, I would imagine it's some pretty intense training he's got to go through to like be in that kind of shape for the movies.
Yeah, I'm sure.
So that's pretty cool. And we got a small glimpse at the Batmobile, and while we couldn't see too much, I like what I see. I mean, it kind of has, like, its elements from the 89 Batmobile kind of worked in there, but also, it almost looks like they took the Tumbler and the 89 Batmobile and kind of meshed them together. Yeah. And if that's how the whole thing looks, I think I'd be okay with that.
And, you know, that's one of those, when I first saw the Tumbler, I hated it, and then it grew on me fairly quick.
Yeah.
It's nowhere near my favorite Batmobile, but it worked very well for what it was. But it's kind of one of those deals where I think the Tumbler sort of deadened Batmobile looks for me, because as much as I hated the look of that thing and then turned out to like it, you can show me any picture of the Batmobile and all I can go now is, I guess I'll wait till I'll see it.
Yeah.
You know, because it, as long as it works functionally in the movie, it's going to be fine.
Yeah.
But this one did not give me the same, like, aesthetically, I wasn't like, ugh, like I was when I first saw the Tumbler. This one I was actually like, all right, I mean, can't see much of it, but it looks like it could be pretty
cool.
It
looks like it could be neat, yeah. Gosh, and there's so many Batmobiles. I mean, every time there's a Batman, there's a new Batmobile.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I mean, so it's not like
often three or four for everybody.
Yeah, exactly. So there's not one set look for the Batmobile.
Yeah.
I mean, so that's always one of those things that's like, as long as it's a cool-looking car, I don't really care what it looks like. I just want it to look neat.
Did you see the pictures a month or so ago that they were, they made sort of a big deal in the headlines for like half a day where they were like, yeah, first pictures of Gal Gadot on the set of Batman Superman or whatever. Did you even see that?
No.
Yeah, they made a big deal out of them in the headlines. I was like, oh, cool, let me see what if they got any kind of cool looks here. And I looked at them. It was basically just two paparazzi-style photos of her getting into a car, like in a blue dress or whatever. So I'm like, that's nothing at all.
Good job, Internet.
Thanks, Internet.
Yeah.
Woo.
That's not Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
That's just that actress there.
Yeah.
Thanks. Good grief. Oh man, yeah, so gosh, we got Wonder Woman in this movie.
Yep.
We've talked about this before.
Yeah,
we're getting Wonder Woman,
they
we got Batman, we got Superman.
They casted Cyborg for
Cyborg
it.
Cyborg
so
is
he'll
coming.
Be in it.
So this is pretty much no longer just this is not a Superman sequel. This is like, this is a movie in its own right, which is obviously the building to the Justice League stuff.
Even in name now.
Even in name, which is something else that just recently got revealed. The name of the movie is, it's Batman versus Superman.
I think it's Batman v.
They
Superman.
They put Batman's
Batman
name first.
First.
Yep.
Yeah.
Batman versus Superman.
Yeah.
Was it Rise of Justice?
Dawn of Justice.
See, I keep doing that because of the Rise of the Planet of the Apes and the my favorite joke is as soon as that was revealed, the internet blew up with all these amazing jokes because that's a terrible movie name.
Yeah.
First and foremost, that's awful.
So dumb.
But yeah, I kept seeing like Rise of the Dawn of the Planet of the Justice and stuff like that, and that was cracking me up. Dawn of Despair. I think that was my favorite.
Yes.
Dawn of Despair.
Yes. I just feel like that title is pretty much just cementing your project as nothing but a commercial for the next project.
Yeah, right?
You know?
Oh, my gosh.
And all these people they're trying to shoehorn in, I'm hoping that this is all, like, they've got them cast and they'll bring them in the movie and they'll all be in the last 5 minutes and then it'll be the lead-in for the next one or something so they don't bog this movie down way too much. Again, DC makes a lot of really bad decisions, so I'm not counting on that, but
mm-hmm.
The whole thing is seriously just such a, it's like they're completely foregoing making a second movie, and they're just going to go ahead and advertise their third movie for you.
Yeah.
In a two-hour spectacle.
Yeah.
You know, maybe that'll work out. Probably it won't.
Probably it won't.
But it's just more disappointing news from that. Every time I hear something out of there, it's just like, no, don't care.
Yeah, it's...
Yeah.
It's so dumb, and, like, I know we've said this a million times before, and I do want to say it again. We want these to be good movies.
Mm-hmm.
We really want to like these movies. I just, I feel like I'm losing more and more faith with Warner Brothers and what they want to do with their movie universe every day. Like, I feel like every time there's another big announcement, except for the photo of the Batman costume, every other announcement has just been fuel for more jokes.
Yeah.
Because it's just so absurd. Yeah. It's like they just don't get it. Yeah, they don't get don't it. Get it.
They just don't. There's no. They're doing the old mentality of, you know, go big or go home. They're not trying to work any kind of real build into it. You know, even when they're setting up a whole movie that's in theory just build for another movie, they're building by smashing you in the face with as much stuff as they can. And that's not true build.
Yeah.
You know?
Good grief. Well, I'll tell you what, something else that doesn't help, you know, help me feel any better about these movies is some of the recent things that David Goyer has been saying. So I definitely want to bring this up briefly so we can talk about it. David Goyer is one of the screenwriters who's working on the Batman versus Superman movie.
He worked on all the Dark Knight movies, and he's been around the DC thing for a good long while now.
So there was an interview recently with him and several other screenwriters that were on the Script Notes podcast, which was actually recorded in front of a live studio audience. They had, like, actual crowd there watching them record this. And first of all, let's talk about the She-Hulk thing real quick.
Yeah, I don't even know how to bring that
up. This is so weird, and a lot of the stuff he says is really inappropriate, so I don't even want to like say everything that he himself said. But they get into this conversation about the Marvel Universe, and he's for some reason he brings up She-Hulk, and he says, "I have this theory about She-Hulk, which was created by a man, right? And at the time in particular, I think 95% of comic book readers were men, and certainly almost all of the comic book writers were men. So the Hulk was this classic male power fantasy. It's like most of the people reading comic books were these people who were just these little kids getting the crap kicked out of them every day. And so they created She-Hulk, who was still smart. I think She-Hulk is the chick that you could essentially have sex with if you were the Hulk." But he's saying, like, this dude's, like, cursing like a sailor in this whole thing,
crass.
Too. He's way more crass.
Somehow that sentiment is more crass than he says it.
So he goes on to say, "She-Hulk was the extension of the male power fantasy. It's like, if I'm going to be this geek who becomes the Hulk, then let's create a giant green porn star that the Hulk could have sex with."
Yeah.
Are you kidding me with this? Like, what is this nonsense that he's spewing?
First of all, why did that even come up?
I have no idea. You know, I mean, like, and I haven't listened to the actual podcast.
How in the world are you in that position of you know, essential power over some of this material? And that's not, it's Marvel stuff. That's not specifically She-Hulk, but you're in a power position over comic book characters and bringing them to the big screen. And in theory, you've worked on these projects that are all very highly regarded, and this is how you feel about comic book culture?
Yeah, exactly.
You know? Yeah.
Yeah. And it's just like, and then let's get some facts straight, too. First of all, She-Hulk and Hulk are cousins.
Yeah. And have never, ever any way, shape, or form done any sort of romantic angle.
Exactly. So he's just flat wrong, first of all. Yeah. Like, maybe he's just trying to be funny, but he's failing miserably at trying to be funny. He's just being insulting.
Yeah.
You know, this is a guy whose job is to bring these comic books to life in an enjoyable form in a movie, and all he's doing is essentially making fun of comic book readers and these characters.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, and I am not a guy who will cry sexism or cry racism or cry any of that stuff very often. You know, generally, when people start calling things that, it's more like, well, now you're just kind of trying to draw attention to things.
Yeah,
Let's just leave comments be comments, you know. But if you can say something where I go, "Man, you sound like a sexist moron," then you must sound like a sexist moron.
Exactly. You know? And one of my favorite parts, too, is Stan Lee actually commented on it and basically was like, "He's a moron."
Did he?
Yeah, Stan Lee's response was, "He's a moron." He says, first of all, She-Hulk is Hulk's cousin. She was never designed to be a porn star of any type.
Yeah.
He says, sure, she's really curvy, but what superhero female isn't?
Yeah.
That was Stan Lee's
comic book character
isn't. Exactly. Oh, yeah. I mean, males, too. It's not just the females. Look at the males are you know, rippled and have crazy muscles. Exactly. And I mean, that's just the nature of comic books.
You know, and I was telling you about it a little bit earlier, like Vindication is bittersweet sometimes because Goyer's been involved with a lot of this stuff. He's been involved in some really cool projects. So he was one of those names where it used to be for a while there, I'd see his name and be like, all right, cool. He's done some good stuff. I'm glad to see he's on it. He seems to know his stuff. And then I've heard interviews and read interviews with him for the last several years now. I'd say probably anything since about when The Dark Knight came out, you know, and you just listen to this guy and you go, man, this guy's a massive tool.
Yeah.
Like, why is...
He just sounds like an idiot, dude. He sounds so stupid.
How in the world is he involved with all this stuff that's, you know, generally pretty good? What is going on here? And so you hear stuff like this and you hear... You just hear people like that who are generally respected by the internet or by comic fans or whatever else, and you go, man, I wonder if everybody thinks so highly of them because they've never actually heard the guy speak.
Yeah.
Because I thought the same thing until I did. And so now to get more mainstream press of, you know, people going, hey, turns out Goyer's a moron, I'm sitting there going, all right, at least we can call the dude out for it now and get him out of the way.
Yeah, exactly.
And get whoever's working with him that's actually doing good on these projects in there. Because doesn't he specifically say something in there about not listening to comic book fans?
Yeah, yeah. Well, that was a different quote, actually, because like the link at the bottom of this is another thing that says, David Goyer thinks it's a mistake to listen to comic book fans.
Yeah, that about sums up DC right there.
That's a story in itself right there. But the other stuff that he goes on to say in this exact same podcast, which is, I can't decide if it's worse, but it's definitely bad because this is stuff that he's actually in charge of that he's saying here. He goes on to talk about Martian Manhunter. Now, remember that DC is setting up a Justice League movie right now. They're supposed to be bringing all these heroes together because they want to do a big Justice League movie in the same vein as Marvel's Avengers. So at this podcast, in front of this live audience, he says, how many of you have heard of Martian Manhunter? And the crowd gets excited and starts cheering. And then his response to that is, how many of you people have been laid? What?
Yeah.
Are you serious with this? Like, what? What a jerk, you know? And like, okay, maybe he's trying to be funny. Maybe that's one of those things. Ha ha ha! You're hilarious.
Well,
whatever.
If that's your sense of humor, then that's not an excuse anymore.
Yeah, right.
So, like, that's not okay.
So then he goes on to explain his take on the Martian Manhunter character. He says he hasn't been rebooted, but he's a mainstay in the Justice League. But he can't be effing called the Martian Manhunter because that's goofy. He can be called the Manhunter, but the whole deal with Martian Manhunter is he's an alien living amongst us. So he comes down to Earth and decides, unlike Superman, who already exists in our world, that he's just going to be a homicide detective. And basically this whole part right here is him just, like, mocking the Martian Manhunter character. So, like, it's hard to, like, get the tone because we're just reading the text. But he goes on to say, and so instead of just using his superpowers and mind reading and like, oh, I could figure out if the president's lying or whatever, he just decides to disguise himself as a human homicide detective. Dare to dream. Like, that's his quote about Martian Manhunter.
Yeah.
Then he goes on to say...
Completely runs down the character.
Yeah. Then he goes on to say, I would set it up like the day after tomorrow. We discover one of those Earth-like planets. So maybe we get the DNA code from that planet and we grow him in a petri dish here. He's like in an Area 51 or something. And we're just basically doing biopsies on him. Then he ends his quote about Martian Manhunter by saying, then he gets really angry and breaks out and has sex with She-Hulk. And brings it full circle back to his incredibly sexist comments about She-Hulk.
In case you guys forgot, I was an even bigger moron than I sound like right now. Here's this again.
So, it's just like, so now you just read all this and you're like, and... how can anybody wonder why I have no faith in these Warner Brothers DC movies?
Absolutely.
Like, this whole thing feels like one big giant joke.
Yeah. This is the kind of tool who's in charge of this.
Yeah. This is the guy who's in charge of this. He's the screenwriter on these movies, and this is how he feels about these characters.
If you allow him on set, it's a bad sign for your movie.
My God, dude.
And let's go ahead and skip right past any of the stuff that makes him sound like a sexist idiot and any of the stuff that makes him sound like he doesn't understand comic books. Let's just go straight to the movie aspect of this quote. You want to make your movie more like The Day After Tomorrow? Like, that's your go-to?
What a
terrible idea that is, you know?
Oh, man.
What in the world is happening?
I don't know. I heard all that, and of course, you know, if you guys have heard those comments or seen those comments, and you've also seen the internet's, you know, been up in arms about it, and... it's understandable. Yeah, good. You know, like, it makes total sense.
I didn't realize Stan Lee had come out and said something, so
yeah.
good for him.
Yeah,
good for
exactly.
Stan. Get out there and defend your stuff, man.
Just, oh, man, dude, that's just so ridiculous. Yeah. Every bit of that is ridiculous.
Yeah. And again, you keep saying, maybe he's just trying to be funny, and maybe he just way misfired on that, but, like, that's not acceptable. Like,
it really
isn't.
That's
not a good excuse.
It really isn't.
Like, that might make it slightly maybe better, sort of, but not exactly.
I know. And, like, the way I was thinking about it, I was like, okay, so he's sitting down at this podcast. He's in front of this audience. Maybe that was his intention. He's like, I'll be kind of silly and goofy, and I'll say a bunch of dumb things, and I'll make the crowd laugh, and it'll be cool. Maybe that was his thought on all that. But boy, did it not come out good.
Yeah. And again, even if that was his thought, still not okay.
Yeah, no, not the things that he said. Yeah. Absolutely not. Yeah,
way That's too just far.
Over the line.
Yeah.
Every bit of it's over the line. Good grief, dude.
Yeah.
DC's a mess. Yeah. Warner Brothers is a mess.
It is a dumpster fire, man. That is all there is to it.
I want it to be good. I really do. I hope we walk into Rise of Justice or Dawn of Justice or whatever it's called, and it turns out to be a fun movie, and you know, we can get back on this show afterwards and say, hey, that was fun.
Yeah.
I really hope that happens.
I do too. And that's the kind of sad state of affairs is, like, I feel like that's my best hope is, like, well, I know it's not going to be good, so hopefully it'll at least be fun. That's not how I should feel about this movie.
It's not.
You know? I should be really excited for this.
Oh, man. So real quick, actually, I want to bring this up because this is along the same lines. That Ninja Turtles movie.
Yeah.
We talked about that already and kind of gave our thoughts and opinions just off of seeing that trailer. That movie is scheduled to come out in August.
Yeah.
Which is the right date. We were wrong last time.
Yeah, we were way off.
August is when that's supposed to come out. Have you noticed that the advertising for that movie has just dead stopped?
I haven't seen any, like, new stuff.
There's been nothing new.
Yeah.
They haven't, like, they released that first trailer. That first trailer's not even really playing anywhere anymore. Like, you don't really see it.
Yeah.
And like, I know it's hard to compare these two because Marvel's such a juggernaut right now, but Guardians of the Galaxy comes out that same month.
Yeah.
And they've been promoting the crap out of that movie. And the fact that they're not promoting a brand new Ninja Turtles movie the same way really worries me.
Yeah, you know, what's funny is we talked about the same thing when we thought it was coming out in May.
Yeah.
Because we're geniuses.
Yeah.
We talked about the exact same thing, and we're like, man, we're really scared because we should have seen a lot about this movie, and they're still doing nothing. So as soon as we came back on, we're like, okay, guys, sorry, we missed up the dates, so I guess all the fears we had of that were completely unfounded because they'll have plenty of time to advertise it now. Well, now we're starting to get back to the point where it's like, okay,
they're not advertising.
Now we're where we thought we were,
and
they're still not advertising.
Even though pictures have now leaked onto the internet, a whole bunch of pictures, Playmates themselves still have not officially revealed the toys.
Wow.
Because the studio still has them on hold.
Wow.
And it's just, that is a scary sign to me. Mm-hmm. Because usually when there's a toy tie-in with a movie, they get that stuff out in the stores months before the movie comes out to prep all the kids to get them excited for the movie.
Yeah.
I mean, all the Transformer stuff is in the stores right now for the new movie that comes out in July.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Guardians of the Galaxy toys are starting to hit stores right now.
Yeah.
The turtle stuff should at least... They haven't even revealed it officially. All of this just really has me nervous. It has me so nervous.
Stuff.
And this is another movie where, like, I didn't necessarily hate that trailer, as we discussed. So I'm really, like, hoping that this is going to turn out to be a fun movie.
Yep.
But just like with the Batman vs. Superman, like, it's kind of sad that we're just hoping that we're going to have fun with this movie.
Yeah.
When we should be really excited about a new Ninja Turtles movie.
Lowered expectations.
Yeah. So... I don't know. I guess we'll see what happens with that one. It's getting a little close. Getting a little close to time. Oh, what are some of the other things that we wanted to talk about?
I think there was news on the Star Wars front for the first, I don't know what you call it, standalone film, I guess. The one that will come out after Episode 7. The Godzilla director's attached to that.
Yeah.
Now, and they released that news right after Godzilla came out and made a ton of money. Gareth Edwards, I think, is his name.
That's cool.
And
I'm so excited.
I'm pretty juiced for that. I don't know if we'll do a whole review episode on Godzilla. I don't even think you saw it.
I haven't seen it yet.
I can do a pretty quick review. I didn't like it much.
Yeah.
But it's simply, I think, a matter of not my style. More than bad movie.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, I watched it, and they do, we'll go quick spoiler alert here for the next, like, 2 minutes. They do a lot of teasing monster fights and then cutting away, and so you don't get your, you're geared up and you're ready, and you can see, you've seen Godzilla a couple of times, you see the other things. several times, and every time, like, the two get together, and you're like, okay, here we go, it just sort of cuts away and goes on to more of the human story and moves that forward a little bit, you know, yeah. And you're like, what is Godzilla in this Godzilla movie, yeah. Or what's going on? And at the very end, you get your knockdown drag out, and it's pretty awesome. And I did a little bit of reading on it, and I figured out, because I'm not a huge, like I've seen some old Godzilla movies, but I'm not like an old Godzilla guy.
Yeah.
They're cool for what they are. But I guess this was very much the style of the old Toho Godzillas, like the classic
ones. That's what
I've
heard, too.
And so I get what they were going for, and they did a good job on that aspect. My problems are twofold. A, not my style, and so I went expecting nothing but, you know, Pacific Rim-style monster fights, and
yeah.
I didn't get any of them, so I was just kind of bummed. B, the human story that they were kind of following along, that every time they would, you know, tease the monster fight and then go back to Aaron Taylor Johnson, or I think that's his name, the kid playing Quicksilver, the kid who played Kick-Ass and everything.
Yeah.
They'd go back to him, and I'm like, all right, most of these scenes are, like, well enough acted, but nothing's really happening here either.
Uh-huh.
Like, I don't get this story, I don't care about it, it's sort of, like, it was all basically... He got stuck in Japan with his dad and then was trying to make it back home to his wife in California. And along the way, he's an army guy, so he keeps stopping to help out. But he's stopping to help out with these ridiculous missions that don't make sense. They don't work out. And they do all this stuff. You know, Godzilla's and these other things are knocking airplanes out of the sky. But they still, for some reason, think if they line up a bridge full of army guys with machine guns, that'll do something. So he just gets caught in all these ridiculous predicaments.
Yeah.
Where you're like, you know, I don't care about this guy, and I don't care about this story, and I just want to see these monster fights that they keep teasing and then not showing. So, again, didn't love Godzilla by any means. Though I do admit that I get what they were going for. They did a respectable job at what they were shooting for. And if that's your style, it was probably an awesome movie, so cool.
It obviously did good enough because they already announced a sequel.
Yeah,
so
yeah, exactly. Well, it made a ton of money, yeah.
Yeah,
so they're definitely going to do more.
It's funny, though, too, because like after you told me your like initial thoughts on it, I realize that that's kind of the way it's going with everybody talking about it online. It seems like everybody either loved it or they didn't really like it very much.
Yeah.
So there's nobody
yeah.
really in the middle on this
yeah.
one. And I saw a lot of quotes where people were just straight like, Pacific Rim was a better Godzilla movie than Godzilla. You know, I saw people saying stuff like that. And I was just like, oh, that's not good.
Well, and that's funny because I thought the same thing when I left. And then I did the research and then I went, okay, I was wrong.
Yeah.
Because I was looking for a movie that is not how, this movie
yeah.
was made how it was probably supposed to be made. I was just looking for a
different
movie.
I was going to say, that's always the argument
yeah.
I saw people throwing back at those
yeah.
people,
like,
saying, well,
yeah.
this is just like the old Godzilla
yeah.
movie. So
yep.
it was perfect.
Yep.
So,
like, I was uneducated
yeah.
on that. So, on
yeah.
one hand, you know, bad on me. On the other hand, even knowing that, I still wanted to see that other movie more, you know.
But which is just a
yeah.
personal preference.
Exactly,
thing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But the point
yeah.
I was starting with, when we were talking about him taking over that Star Wars movie, usually if I see a movie I don't like very much, and then I hear that director is going to go tackle something I really enjoy, I'd be kind of disappointed. But I will say Godzilla, even though it wasn't my cup of tea, was very well made.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, seeing that visual spectacular and then the next day going, hey, that guy's going to do a Star Wars movie, I'm going, all right, that's totally cool.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Awesome.
I think that'll be fun. I don't know what the Star Wars movie is still yet. I don't even think they've announced what the subject is.
No,
they've just
like
said
the,
that it's coming and it'll be this guy directing it.
Well, the super heavy rumors, which doesn't mean anything, but the
yeah.
heavy rumors has been that it's going to be a Boba Fett standalone movie.
Okay.
Which I would be totally cool with that as long as it's adult Boba Fett. I
yeah.
don't want to see him growing up. I don't need any of that stuff.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
it was bad enough that we had to see little kid Boba Fett running around in episode 2. We didn't really need that.
Yeah.
I just want to see awesome, badass, you know, most feared bounty hunter in the galaxy having a cool standalone movie.
Yeah,
I would be totally down with
absolutely.
That. So if that happens, I'm excited. I think it's really cool. I'm starting to get really excited for all the Star Wars stuff.
Yeah. I got to feel, because it's one of those things that's, it's hovering around my head. I should
yeah.
be super excited for it. And I am super excited for it. But, like, I remember when the prequels got announced, there was nothing but, like, Star Wars fever from, like,
uh-huh.
the day of announcement to
uh-huh.
the day that it came out. And I feel like this stuff's all been announced and it's all been handled very well, but I just don't have that exact same level of excitement.
We're all a little worried.
But I don't think we should be.
Yeah,
that's,
we shouldn't.
Okay.
I don't think we should either.
You and I are both prequel guys.
Yeah.
Phantom Menace aside, of course.
Exactly, yes.
But
get rid
we're
of that
both
one.
Prequel guys,
but I love,
you know,
episode
yeah,
two and three.
Yeah, 2 and 3 are great, you know.
Yeah.
They may not be the best of the series.
Yeah.
3's right up there, I think.
I think 3's
with,
great.
With him. Yeah, 3's my second or third favorite, probably. But we're prequel guys. We liked them. You know, they weren't necessarily exactly what we were expecting when we went in, but
uh-huh.
they did fine. And now what they're doing is they're taking all of today's technologies, all of the old cast we love, and a couple of filmmakers that we're really excited about. There's no reason for us to be scared about this.
And they're doing, did you see, like, they're doing puppets? They're doing less CGI in these movies. They've, like, they're coming out and saying this stuff, which is hilarious.
Yeah, I did not see that. They're doing
less CGI, and they're doing more actual set locations. They're using puppets in these movies instead of CGI'd aliens.
Man, that's awesome.
So, like, they're doing all this stuff.
I did see that thing with J.J. Abrams, that new character.
How cool was that?
Yeah, that was awesome.
Like, that looked like old Star Wars.
But that's the thing. Yeah. Like, I love George Lucas, but he's not what people thought he was for several years. That's the best way to say it, I guess.
Yeah.
Where now we've got filmmakers who, like us, love these movies.
Yes.
And are very, very talented. Like us, I guess?
Yes. Talented like us. Yep.
But there's no reason to not be excited about it. And again, I am very excited about it. It's just one of those weird things where every time I think about it, I go, I feel like I should be way more excited. But honestly, I think it's the landscape of movies in general. When the prequels were announced, that was by, you know, far and away the biggest news in movies.
Yeah.
For the last 15 years had been easily. Now it's like, okay, they're going to continue the Star Wars universe. Technically, that's probably the biggest news in movie history. Except it's also swirling around all this Batman Superman stuff, all this Marvel stuff.
Yeah.
There's just so much other awesome things going on. So I get this feeling that if you bring it up and you ask me, hey, Star Wars is coming, you excited? Yeah, obviously, clearly, I'm very excited. I just don't have that little kid pop to me yet. But I got a feeling the second they show me like an actual any kind of trailer, or they show me like Luke and Han chilling together.
Oh my god.
You know, like old Luke and old Han with some sort of witty exchange or something like that. As soon as I see anything like that on film, I'm going to be an 8-year-old kid again for the next like 2 years.
When they released that picture of all of them doing the first sit down reading.
Yeah, that was cool.
That was a pretty amazing moment.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like when that picture came out and I actually saw that and saw those old actors sitting there amongst the new ones and they were doing the reading, it kind of really clicked for me for the first time. And I was like, this is really happening.
Yep.
And this is going to be fun.
Yep.
So I'm very excited. I love the Star Wars movies, and I think it's something I'm really looking forward to. I love, we got Disney behind it now, and I almost feel like
I love that, too.
I do, too.
Sometimes people complain about that. Like, Disney's producing the best stuff out there.
I know. Anybody that wants to complain about Disney is only doing it because it's cool to hate on Disney. Disney does amazing stuff.
Yeah.
And it looks like they're almost doing the same kind of model with the Star Wars movies as they are with the Marvel stuff.
Uh-huh.
Because they're doing like the three big movies, but they're going to start doing these standalone ones in between.
Yep.
And like they want to release a movie a year at least from the Star Wars universe. Like that's kind of some exciting
stuff. That's a
big deal,
man.
That is
a
big deal.
Yeah.
I mean, we've never had that before with Star Wars.
And Disney gets it. You know?
Disney does seem to get it.
Yeah,
it's awesome.
Yeah, Disney is so much about fan service.
So
They're a money-making juggernaut.
Yeah, yeah.
And, yes, they're definitely profiteers. That's what they exist for, and that's all fine. You know, I'm a big capitalism fan, so I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that argument can be made, sort of, except that they make all their money by pleasing people.
Exactly.
You know?
You can joke about them being a monopoly or monopolizing the world and buying everything all you want to, but as long as they're buying the stuff up and then making awesome movies with it...
Yeah.
I am totally fine with it.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. You know
do it. I don't care.
Yeah. You know what doesn't bother me? One company owning everything if that company's doing it all right.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly. Yeah.
Like if Warner were buying everything, I'd probably quit movies.
We'd be in trouble.
Yeah.
Oh, man, that's awesome. Well, I think that is a good place to stop for just a moment to take a quick break to hear from one of our sponsors, and we will be right back with some more geeky discussion.
Are you tired of buying from unreliable sellers on those big online auction sites? How about scouring the internet for that one figure you need, only to find it for 3 times the retail price? If you are, then stop by NerdRageToys.com. We specialize in new and vintage toys and collectibles. We have hundreds of items from popular lines like G.I. Joe, Star Wars, Transformers, Thundercats, He-Man, Ghostbusters, and more. Our items are priced to sell and ready to ship. You can follow us on Twitter, Facebook, or sign up for our weekly newsletter to stay current on all of our site news and updates. Nerd Rage Toys. Stuff for nerds.
All right, gang. Welcome back to the discussion. A lot of movie news that's been going on. A lot of fun things that are happening. And one of the ones that we definitely wanted to talk about is the new Terminator movie that's coming out.
Is that 2015 or 2016?
Does it say?
I think that's 2015. They're already filming it now. There's no way that's going to be 2 more years.
Yeah, July 1st, 2015.
There's so much stuff coming in 2015.
2015 is going to be a crazy year. Yeah, that's going to be nuts.
I might just retire from movies after that.
There's nothing they can do after.
There's never going to be a year that big again.
Well, but you have to wait for the Thanos Avengers.
Yeah, I know. I'll not retire.
Avengers 3.
I'll keep watching movies. Sadly.
So it's a new Terminator movie, and like they're using the term reboot, but I don't know. Like we were just saying, we don't know exactly where this fits in the timeline.
Reboot's just the new, like, we're terrible reporters and we don't know what words mean, so we've heard this one. We'll throw it out there.
We'll use the reboot term.
But they do that, like you just said. They're calling Transformers 4 a reboot. It's clearly not.
It's clearly a sequel.
Yeah. It's not a direct sequel because all the human characters are different, but all the robots are.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, like well, it's a continuation of that story. There's no reason to call that a reboot.
Well, and the trailer itself even like has the sign that says "Remember Chicago," which is the events that happened at Transformers 3.
Exactly.
I mean,
exactly.
Come on, guys.
But again, terrible entertainment reporters go, "Movie looks different. It's probably a reboot.
It's a reboot."
Yeah.
Shia LaBeouf's not there. Megan Fox is gone still.
Yeah.
Reboot.
So I don't know. Somebody called this Terminator movie a reboot. I'm sure it's not that. It's an older Schwarzenegger. It's Terminators are so goofy with the time travel and everything anyway.
Right.
Because I think they even called that last one with Batman in it, Christian Bale.
Who's Batman in it?
I think at the time they even called that one a reboot. And it's like, no, not. I mean, it's just telling stories from a different part of the timeline.
Yeah.
It's not a reboot. It's different, you know? This one is back to being Sarah Connor and Kyle Reese and John Connor and an old T-800. Which is awesome, and I've seen a couple of Schwarzenegger quotes talking about that, because that was one of the big questions, you know, like, how is he going to play a robot again 20 years later?
Yeah.
And Schwarzenegger just came out and went, hey, these things are covered in human skin, and the skin ages. And I went, sold.
Yeah, that's all you need, right?
Yep.
That's all you need.
Thank you.
So the so they age also, I guess.
Yes, exactly.
Since they're covered in human skin and everything, so the skin itself ages.
Exactly.
But
if that's how they want to do it, I will buy that. That's fine. Cool with it, you know?
That's awesome.
Yeah. So I'm excited for that. There's a couple of pictures online, and they're showing it's Emily or Amelia Clark. One of those two first names is right. from Game of Thrones, playing Sarah Connor and John McClane's kid from that fifth Die Hard movie is playing Kyle Reese. And no, the fifth Die Hard movie wasn't that great, but still, that kid's probably fine. You know what? He was also in that Jack Reacher movie that I liked a ton.
Oh, okay.
He was the bad guy in that, and he was awesome there. Yeah, so Jai Courtney is his name. So
okay.
I'm fine with him.
And John Connor's in it, too, it looks like older John Connor, so he's coming back in time.
There's all sorts of time travel stuff going on here.
So I guess he's going to come back in time with the Arnold Terminator.
Maybe, I don't know. I almost get the feeling just from the age that they are in this movie, because they're very similar to the ages that those characters would have been when the first Terminator came out. I'm kind of wondering if this movie takes place like halfway into the,
movie.
Something like that.
Like they're just going to like really screw with that whole thing.
I mean, you never know with time travel. They could do anything.
They could do whatever they want, basically.
So, but I'm excited. We love Terminator movies.
Yeah, like one of the shots here that they've got is like the young Sarah Connor pulling a gun on the old John Connor.
Yeah.
An old John Connor.
Yeah.
So
and they both look like they're in some sort of scrubs, or like her and Kyle Reese both.
Yeah.
Like they were coming out of a hospital or something, or maybe. I don't know. But who knows? Could be. It's going to be interesting either way. I'm going to be. That's a movie I'm going to be excited for.
Yeah. I'll just.
Because
whatever. It's a fun Terminator movie.
That's
all you could really
and
expect.
I love Schwarzenegger flicks.
Yeah. Heck yeah, dude.
You know?
Yeah. Come see my movie.
Did you see that thing of him rolling over stuff in
with
his
tank? Yeah. How amazing was that?
That was the greatest thing ever.
Yeah. The video's been online for a while, but if you guys need to go look for something funny, you get on YouTube and look for Arnold Schwarzenegger with his tank. Just running. It's on his channel on YouTube. So I'm sure if you just search for Arnold Schwarzenegger tank, you'll find his video.
Also, just go find his channel, because everything on there is gold.
Yeah. He just does all these short videos of him doing quotes from his own movies for no reason. It's like, oh my God.
And he'll just be on like a random movie set or somewhere, and he'll just be standing there and he'll be like, all right, I guess I'll film this quote now.
Yeah.
You know, and he'll just do it and it'll be really goofy.
Yeah.
And then he'll just put it online and it's like, it's all gold.
Yeah. Like my favorite,
hilarious.
My favorite one still is the one where he just randomly filmed himself going, put that cookie down now. I was like, yep, subscribing to this channel.
Yep.
I just need to see all of Arnold's craziness.
It's amazing.
Yeah, good stuff. Good stuff. New Jurassic Park movie also coming out.
Yeah,
talking
yeah.
about all these, like,
2015
again. All these reboots keep happening. No. So, yeah, 2015 is getting us.
It's another sequel.
Jurassic World is the name of the movie. And I guess, what's the story with this? There was a bunch of leaks for the movie.
Yeah, there was a bunch of leaks and stuff. You know, people kept coming out going, hey, we think we've got some spoilers for what Jurassic World is about. And here's some leaked parts of the script and whatever else. And the director, Colin Trevor, something like that?
Colin Trevorrow?
Okay.
Trevorrow.
He came out basically and was like, all right, we got all these rumors, so I guess I'll go ahead and quell them by just confirming most of them. You know, here's what the movie's about. Yeah. I was like, that's a good defense against the internet, I guess.
Yeah, you know? That's pretty funny.
But
so,
yeah, they're saying it's basically like the world they've envisioned is there's a fully functional Jurassic Park on Isla Nublar.
Yeah.
And it's basically like the fun thing about the way they're taking this movie, I guess, is because you think, okay, that'll be the, like, the first one was the big deal, like, oh my god, this park exists.
Yeah.
And what's it going to be like or whatever. And now we flash forward to this one, and this one, like, it's a fully functional park. It's been open for a while. It's just a thing.
Yeah.
Like, the world's not amazed by it anymore.
What a
like,
cool.
Like, hey, there's some dinosaurs, you know?
I feel like that's a great concept to bring another Jurassic Park movie in.
For sure.
Because...
especially if you want to do the island thing or anything like that again, that is the way to go.
Well, like, you know, Jurassic Park 2 and 3, while I enjoyed both of them, it's like there's only so many times you can go... let's go back to the island to see if murder's still happening there. Yeah. Oh, no, there's still so much murder. Yeah. We made a mistake coming back to the island. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You can only do that so many times before you're like, this is the same thing over and over again.
Yeah. And if they had tried to do that again, you know, 20 years later, that would have been bad, I think.
Yeah.
But they got a really fresh concept, it seems.
So now the idea is that they got the park up and running, and it's been running, and there's just this place where people can go now to see dinosaurs, and it's a regular thing.
Yeah.
So nobody's going to expect something crazy to happen, but obviously something crazy will happen.
Yeah. And he puts a really cool quote in there because he says something about how he got this vision, or they got this vision in their heads of this kid like just taking a like a selfie basically with a T-Rex in the background, like behind a protective cage or whatever, case or whatever like that, and sending it to his girlfriend, and kind of like how ho-hum the technology in your life is.
Yeah.
And now that's kind of how, like, oh, here's a dinosaur.
Here's
whatever,
a dinosaur.
You know?
Like going to a zoo
and
seeing a gorilla.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And the quote he says is, like, that's kind of like the mentality of the world is, all right, cool, you got dinosaurs. What else you got?
Yeah,
and he goes,
totally.
He goes, next summer, we'll show you what else we got, you know?
Oh.
Yeah.
That's exciting.
Yeah,
I'm excited.
Cool. Yeah, that's good
because
stuff, I think.
Now that I know that, I'm excited for a new Jurassic Park movie. Because the whole time I've heard them talking about this, I'm like... well, that's cool, I guess. They're bringing Jurassic Park back again. But now this sounds fun. This is cool.
Do you remember me telling you about that absolute bananas workup of a Jurassic Park idea they had a couple of years ago?
Was it like the dinosaurs merged with humans?
Yeah, the whole point was, and this is, even the story I read was like, we heard this is true. It's almost too unbelievable to be true because they said, basically the idea of it was they had come up with this idea. I don't even remember who came up with it, but they had come up with it, and even Spielberg was like, okay, that's neat, maybe we'll look at it, and then it just kind of started fizzling out. But the idea was like, basically this mercenary character is like the main character, and he gets sent back to the island to pick up that bottle of shaving cream that Nedry dropped.
Uh-huh.
And along the way, I think he gets like... attacked by other mercenaries or something like that who were looking for the same thing because there's like just people going back to this dinosaur infested island trying to find the DNA samples to kind of recreate it.
Right.
And when he gets captured or whatever, he wakes up and he's all of a sudden in this like secret, I don't know if it's a government facility or whatever, and they show him these things they've made and basically they have found some of the DNA and they've merged it with like human DNA, so now they have this like mercenary squad of dino people.
That's so weird.
That are like they've got like personalities and they can talk and they're all bipeds, but they're very dinosaur like.
No.
And then they got this guy to come in and like run the squad.
No.
And I don't even know what their missions were.
I don't want it.
It was. Well, you're just reading it going, what?
That's
like a whole new movie with Jurassic Park as a backdrop.
Yeah.
You know?
That sounds like Riff Tracks material.
Yeah. It was just so crazy. And again, I'm telling the story because it's funny. I have the place I read it even said they didn't know if it was actually true or not, but it was a story they had heard a couple of times. And I'll go and say the same thing. There's no way of knowing if that script ever actually existed. But if it does, I want to read it. really bad.
I'm super glad it didn't get made, that's for sure. Good grief. Oh, my gosh. Well, Jurassic World in this form here that we're getting does sound fun. So I'm excited for that. Awesome. All right. What else we got?
James Cameron and Cirque du Soleil are working on an Avatar live touring show.
Yeah, that's interesting.
So, yeah, I don't have a lot to say about that other than that.
It's interesting.
Yeah. We'll see how that goes.
And I guess we are still getting sequels to the Avatar movies, and I did like the first Avatar. Yeah, I thought it was
Avatar.
A lot of fun.
I love Avatar.
Really fun movie.
Yep, love it.
And it seems like there's a lot of big things on the horizon for that franchise, because with two more movies coming, and now they're doing the Cirque du Soleil show, I guess Disney is incorporating Avatar into their Animal Kingdom theme park,
you told me that.
Which sounds like a lot of fun. So, I mean, there's a lot of big things coming up for Avatar probably in the next couple years. That's pretty neat.
Yeah, for sure. They're rebooting Stargate, except I feel like this one might actually be a reboot.
but
it looks like they're... I think they might be trying to make a trilogy out of it, but here's the weird part. The thing that caught me is Roland Emmerich is set to direct it. Pretty positive he directed the original.
Oh, yeah.
So the concept of someone rebooting their own work from 20, 30 years ago is kind of neat to me. I'm not a huge Roland Emmerich fan, but I did love Stargate.
You know what? I have never seen Stargate.
Really?
Nor have I ever watched any of the Stargate
shows
or anything.
My dad loved the show, and so I peered in on a few episodes with him, and I always felt like it was one where if I could... Because this was right around the time that DVD TV shows were becoming a thing.
Yeah.
When he was watching it, when it was live and stuff. And so I think the sets were out, but there was no, like, Netflix or, you know, easy access way to get them without going and spending $60 a season or whatever it happened to cost at the time. But I remember always thinking, one of these days I'm going to have excess time and money, and I'm just going to pick these up, because this looks like a really cool show, and that just has not happened yet. But I did love the movie, and I liked the few episodes I've seen just kind of chilling with my dad and watching them. So anything they do with the property, I'm going to start off excited about and
cool.
hope for the best.
I think I'm going to, one of these days I'll have to watch
Yeah, we'll sit down and watch the movie, man. The movie's super cool.
Maybe we can look into that sometime doing the show and stuff, too. We'll see.
Whenever
we find time for new things. All right, well, lots of Marvel stuff going on, too. I guess we might as well get into the Marvel discussion.
Stuff,
a lot of crazy stuff. So where do you want to start? Do you want to start with the Ant-Man thing?
Yeah, I guess that's
kind of
one.
The biggest news coming out of the Marvel Universe recently, and I've seen kind of the internet in an uproar because of it. And I'll be honest, to me, I didn't really know this guy or, like... Like, I remember we've talked about it before, but I didn't understand why this was such a big deal. But
Edgar Wright?
Yeah, Edgar, the whole Edgar Wright thing. But most of the internet seems to think this is a really big deal.
Yeah.
So
I'm in the middle there, and we'll explain as we go kind of here. The gist of it is Edgar Wright is off of Ant-Man now, which is a big deal, I would say, but also more of a shocking deal than anything, because Ant-Man sort of only exists because he's been championing trying to get it made since, like, 06.
Since the first Iron Man movie, I think. From what
seeing. I mean, since they announced the first Iron Man movie, technically. Like, he's been, you know, since before Marvel Studios was a thing, he's been working on trying to get an Ant-Man. I mean, this dude's been working on this for almost a decade, and they were seriously, like, a couple of weeks from finally starting to film his vision, and he just backed out of it, you know?
And, like, they're citing differences between him and Marvel Studios.
Creative differences, quote, unquote, you know.
Which is always kind of a scary thing.
It is. Well, and I get where the internet's coming from and general nerddom is, I mean, everybody's a big Edgar Wright fan. And I loved his movies with him and Simon Pegg, because he made Shaun of the Dead and Hot Fuzz and The World's End.
Yeah.
He also did Scott Pilgrim, which I adored.
Oh, man, I love Scott Pilgrim.
Scott, and that was his first big studio movie. And I don't think he really appreciated working with the studios then, and the movie didn't make very much money because it was such a weird niche movie.
It was,
you know?
Yeah.
So not shocking by any means that it didn't, but it was a terrific movie. But, you know, the internet loves him, and so now it's become this thing where it's like, oh, they're not letting Edgar Wright control his own stuff, and Marvel's being too overbearing, and now they're losing great directors, and, you know, blah, 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 and all this stuff. And I'm sure there's probably an aspect of truth to that. But you guys know, I mean, if you listen to the show, you know I'm a Marvel supporter. So
yes.
So you know I'm going to at least find the middle of the road there. And the best I can, I mean, I don't know any of these people, and I don't know the specifics of the situation. Nobody really does except for these people. So I don't want to comment on anyone's personality or how they do things or whatever. And I do like Edgar Wright, but I do get the feeling that he does not like working under a studio atmosphere. And the impression the best impression I have from Marvel came from Joss Whedon before he was, they had given him the Avengers job. He was working on the Avengers, but before he was like, sort of spearheading the whole project, and before he was a big, big name because the Avengers had made all the money, back when he was just, hey, the internet loves this guy, they're really excited about him making the Avengers, he was talking about his process. And he said the process with Marvel was very smooth for him. It was basically, you know, we hired you because we liked what you said you were going to do. We need you to add X character. We need you to add X circumstance. We need you to put this scene in here for building purposes. Mm-hmm. Outside of these notes, you do what you do. We have the faith in you, you know?
Yeah.
And I don't know if they're getting more and more overbearing, because there's been a couple of more stories, you know. Kenneth Branagh didn't come back for Thor 2. He could have. He directed Thor 1. You know, Favreau kind of split off from the directing after 2. And I did hear a lot of things about, I guess they wanted Ivan Vanko in Iron Man 2 to be a lot more of an in-depth character than he turned out to be, and I guess a lot of that was kind of studio presence going, well, we need to do all this other build stuff, so cut some of his stuff down.
Oh.
You know, but that was also, I mean, Iron Man 2 was a real big kind of build-up movie, and that's what it turned into, and a lot of people don't like Iron Man 2 because of some of that, but it accomplished its purpose, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
But you hear a few things from directors like that, but at the same time, then you hear Joss Whedon going, these guys are great to work with, they let me do whatever. James Gunn came right down in the middle. He came out and was like, look, I love Edgar. Edgar's a great guy. I also love Marvel, and working with them has been great. Sometimes two great people come together and it doesn't work out.
Right.
And that's all there is to it, you know? And
true,
I really
man.
Get the feeling more than anything that that's kind of what's going on here. I don't think this is Marvel Studios crumbling. I think this is just a more high-profile misstep along the way. And I think, I don't know if blame is the right word, but I really think Edgar Wright is uncomfortable working under that studio atmosphere. I got a feeling they probably weren't trying to completely recreate his vision, as some people are trying to say, because the only reason he was on that job is because they loved his vision in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
One of the only reasons that movie is being made is because they loved his vision in the first place. So I find it hard to believe that Marvel came out 2 weeks ahead of time and went, hey, we like your vision, except for we're going to change everything.
Yeah.
You know, I just think there was some certain control issues, and I think he sort of spazzed out and walked away. And again, that's not a condemnation of him or the studio or whatever. I just think, like James Gunn said it best, sometimes two good people come together and it doesn't work out.
Yeah.
You know, what scared me the most about it would be our second bit of news, and that's that Drew Goddard stepped off of show running for Daredevil on the Netflix series,
which
too.
Happened like back to back.
Exactly,
both of these,
and that's what scared
did.
Me because we were out of town when it happened,
yes.
And like the new, we're checking our phones, going, "Why is Marvel Studios exploding? What is happening?"
Yeah,
you know? Because when you hear Edgar Wright leaves, and you're like, "That is crazy. I wonder when the world happened." And then seriously, like an hour or two later, you're like, "Oh yeah, Drew Goddard's gone too." Now you're like, "Where's everybody going?"
Yeah,
you know? And it scared the crap out of me, but. Then you do the little bit of research and you figure out, like, Goddard didn't really leave. Goddard is actually still attached to Daredevil. He's just going to be producing now and doing a little bit more behind-the-scenes stuff. He's not going to be writing most of the episodes or directing any of them or being the general showrunner because he's out of time. Because he also signed on to do the Sinister Six.
Uh-huh.
And so it's going to take a lot more time and energy to get that full, you know, that full-blown movie, big-budget Sony movie off the ground than it was. But there was no... Like, I got scared thinking it was kind of the same thing, but there was no mention of he wanted to do different stuff and Marvel was too overbearing or any of that stuff. It was simply, you know, I can't do all the stuff I was going to do, so I'll do some of it.
Yeah.
And I got to go concentrate on this other thing. So I'm like, all right, cool. That's not even news.
And,
you know,
didn't it also say that they're going to use the stuff that he's already written?
Yeah,
too?
They're still
like,
using his
the
scripts.
The first several episodes or whatever.
Yeah, they're still using
his scripts
and his concepts and stuff. And he still will be there. I mean, he'll be a producer. He'll still be credited on there. He'll
so
still
that
have
one's
input.
Not... That one.
So yeah, that was just bad timing.
Bad timing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it looked a little scary, but then you got the lowdown. And it's like, okay, not so bad.
Yeah.
But I've definitely, you know... with both of those happening, I definitely saw some "the sky is falling" posts all over the internet because people get, it gets scary when you see stuff like that. Like,
it does.
This is such a good thing. Don't let it get ruined yet. You know, not now.
Yeah. And honestly, I mean, Edgar Wright's attachment is one of the things that made me excited about an Ant-Man movie because it's such a low profile character in my world.
Yeah.
I wouldn't normally be super excited about it. However, the other thing that makes me excited about it is that Marvel logo. You know, I trust these guys.
Absolutely.
I trust these guys.
Man, at this point, dude.
Yeah.
Man.
They haven't done wrong yet, so I'm going to give them full faith that they're not going to just turn around and all of a sudden start making terrible movies.
Yeah.
You know? Now, just today, which will date when we're recording this, I guess.
June 1st is today when we're recording.
There was a short list of guys to step in and take over on Ant-Man, and I think the top of that list was Adam McKay. The other guys on the list, the guy who did Dodgeball was on there. And the guy who did, can't remember the third guy, but Adam McKay was the front runner, the director of the Anchormans and the other guys, stuff like that. And so I was like, well, that'd be interesting to see him do a superhero movie. And apparently they just released today that Marvel did step up with an offer with him. They were trying to negotiate it, and that has immediately fallen through already.
Oh, man.
So Adam McKay was almost on and then off. And he cited too much commitment to other projects, which, again, could be a cop-out answer. Could also be extremely true.
Yeah.
Because this news is all a week old. So it's very easy that they'd go, hey, you want to do this? And he'd stop and go, man, I would like to do that. I really would. But I got all this other stuff.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, the news has come and gone so quick, you can't take any of that stuff for granted. So,
right.
A little bit extra disappointment. Nowhere near as disappointing as Edgar Wright leaving. So,
yeah.
You know, but they'll find somebody.
Yeah. I mean, I'm still, like, positive about the whole thing, you know? Like, I'm still excited to see what's going to happen with Ant-Man. I think it's going to be cool. Because that, like you said, that's such a low-key hero. Like, he's an Avengers member, but he's not, like... He's one of those characters that you would never have expected to see a movie of. But they're doing a Guardians of the Galaxy movie this year, too.
Exactly.
So...
And everybody's super excited for it. Because the trailers are the best things out there.
Right, yeah, they look good. It looks so good. So I'm excited to see what they're going to do with Ant-Man, And I have faith still in the Marvel logo itself that it's still going to be a fun, good movie.
Exactly. You know, the funny thing about that Guardian stuff, too, I think James Gunn, who I just brought up, the director of that movie, I think that's almost sort of the polar opposite of how Goyer went. Because Goyer's always been so high profile, and I've been sitting in the background going, that dude's a tool. I don't think people should like him. I've been on the James Gunn bandwagon seriously since, like, 2001. Yeah. When he was doing real low-key stuff, he did a real low-key superhero movie called The Specials that I loved. And then he worked on those Scooby-Doo movies, which I loved. I don't think he directed those, but he wrote them both.
Mm-hmm.
He also, I think he might have written Dawn of the Dead, the remake, which was awesome. He did Slither.
Oh yeah,
in the mid-aughts. Like, all these movies that I love. So he's one of those guys that no one's ever heard of. Except for me, and I loved everything he's done. So I've been on this dude's bandwagon for like 15 years.
That's awesome.
And now all of a sudden he's attached to this huge, really bizarre property that I'm pretty positive, like, it's already exploding. All it's got to do is come out and not be terrible, and it's just going to completely blow up.
Yeah, exactly.
And so I'm super excited for him now, and so for myself, because I can say I've been on that bandwagon for so long, and it's finally paid off. There's some Guardians news, isn't there?
Yeah, I think the big Guardians news is that we've got an actor playing Thanos, or the voice of Thanos, because he'll be a CGI character since he's big.
I don't know if they're going to do any mocap stuff with him or not.
I'm not sure, but Josh Brolin has been cast in that part. So.
Which is cool.
Yeah, I mean, like, I'm not offended by that news or anything.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I read it, and I was just like, cool.
Yeah.
Thanos.
Yeah, yay.
Yeah, you know? Exactly. Like, that's...
And that's what I'm saying, like, I think it might have even been when I was talking to you about it. I think it was in one of those email strings, so I was talking to you and several other people about it. But it was one of those news bits where I read it, and I'm like, you know, I'm, like, disappointed isn't the right word, because I like Josh Brolin, and I do think that'll be a neat fit, and all he's really got to do is have a voice that they can alter anyway to make it sound awesome. So I'm sure it'll be great. I think I just expected a bigger name or a more crowd-pleasing name, maybe, is the phrase. So when I read that, I was like, oh, well, I mean, this feels like disappointment, but technically it's not. But the more I've kind of thought about it, too, the more I've just sort of acclimated to it. And it doesn't need to be, you know, I mean, what were they going to tell me? Nathan Fillion. Oh, cool. Except that was a terrible thing to do, you know?
Yeah.
So what was I expecting?
Yeah,
I have no idea.
Exactly.
You
know?
So Josh Brolin's cool.
Yeah, he's cool.
He's got a good menacing voice if he needs to.
Yeah.
And he'll be bigger nerd fare in a couple of months here when Sin City comes out anyway.
Oh yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So. Very cool.
Good choice.
I like to have you noticed on the more recent Guardians of the Galaxy trailers how they're actually, you know, they list all the characters off, the actors playing all the characters, and you know, they're like, and Bradley Cooper is the voice of Rocket Raccoon, and Vin Diesel is the voice of Groot, and then they actually do like his one line in the trailer. Like, that's the only thing he's gonna say, guys.
Yeah.
Just so you know.
Well, he'll say it
I am
times
Groot.
In different tones.
Yeah.
Yeah, I am Groot.
Yep.
Those are the only words you'll hear Vin Diesel say.
So like when I saw that trailer and he said it, I was just like, and there it is. That's the only time we're gonna
awesome.
Yeah.
And I think it's funny too, because that's like you said, it's a really funny tease because you know what it means.
Yeah.
It's also a really funny tease, I think, for people who don't know, because they just think, you know, that was the one line they gave him there. Like, oh, he just introduced himself. Nope, that's all he said.
So they're going to go in and be like, Vin Diesel didn't really say much, did he? Like, nope, that's all he does. It's so funny that they got Vin Diesel to do that.
I know.
It's awesome. I love it. I'm excited. That movie's going to be a lot of fun. Cool, man. Well, I think we rocketed through most of the really important news items, at least a lot of the big stuff that we hadn't really discussed yet, and a lot of the most recent stuff, which was probably the most important stuff to talk about. This will get us back up to speed. Definitely.
And then from here on out, like you mentioned earlier, we're gonna pop out. I don't know if there'll be solo episodes or if we'll do any combos. We'll kind of see how long we talk about them.
Yeah, exactly. We'll
be coming pretty quick with reviews for Captain America, the Winter Soldier, and for the Amazing Spider-Man 2.
I think we're going to work our way backwards through them. I want to start with X-Men Days of Future Past. Because it's the most recent release, and we just saw it, and it's fresh in my mind, and I want to talk about it.
Yeah.
So we'll probably work our way backwards through those. So,
That'll work.
Expect those. We've got some reviews coming up soon. It's getting close to San Diego Comic-Con time, too, which means there's going to be a lot of news for everything. I mean, toys and movies, and there's going to be so much to talk about. And that is one of the things, too, that I do want to bring up soon, is because a lot of the big toy companies have already been revealing what their exclusives are going to be, and I definitely want to kind of give my thoughts on some of that stuff, too. So we have a lot to talk about still.
That'll be news for me, too.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So there you go, guys. I hope you enjoyed our discussion episode, and stay tuned. We're going to try to fire these out pretty quick here to get ourselves back on track.
Yeah.
So we'll have a lot of new episodes coming up very shortly. You can check us out at pixel-dan.com. It's where you can find all episodes of the Geek Easy podcast. And if you're on iTunes, you can subscribe to us there. That way you'll always just be given the new episode every time it's uploaded. Or Android users, you can also find us on Stitcher. So lots of different ways you can listen to us online. We would love it if you hit that subscribe button. That way you'll never miss out on a new episode when it's uploaded, and that way you'll be wondering where we disappeared to when you don't see us hitting your newsfeed anymore. But we shouldn't be doing that again. So you can follow me on Twitter at PixelDan, and follow you on Twitter at
JLeonard31.
JLeonard31. I don't know why I always forget that, but JLeonard31. So if you want to, you know, converse with us about any of the stuff from the episodes, that's actually the best place to do it, because we both, I think, regularly at least check our Twitters.
Yeah.
I'm definitely on there all the time.
Yeah, you're on there a lot more than I am, but I usually see the alerts when they come through, so.
Yep, and you can, if you guys want to, you even use the hashtag GeekEasyPodcast. I use that hashtag anytime I talk about the show
trending
on there. Yeah, there you go.
Except that takes like half of your 140 characters.
Yes,
so,
it does.
So only come out with quick thoughts.
Yeah. Quick thoughts. So I think that's gonna wrap this one up, guys. So until next time, I'm Pixel Dan.
And I'm Jonathan Leonard.
We'll see you right back here in the Geek Easy.
The Geek Easy Podcast is a production of PixelDan.com.
Musical tracks used in the intro and outro are used with full permission of the respective owners or creators. Intro and outro narrations are provided by me, Brian T. Stevenson. Any animated series discussed are copyright their respective owners. PixelDan.com's The Geekeasy Podcast is provided for entertainment purposes only. The views expressed are those solely of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily represent those of PixelDan.com or any other party. Be sure to join us next time for another installment of The Geekeasy Podcast.